she came, only to fly away, only to fly as day flies from moonlight. Now I'm alone, still
Engagement Commission meeting for Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. And can we start with the Pledge of Allegiance? Please stand.
Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we do roll call?
All right, commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic. Commissioner Amoregi.
Present.
Commissioner Goodman.
Present.
Commissioner Ibarra.
Present.
Commissioner Kelly.
Present.
Vice Chair Klein Rothschild.
Present.
And Chair Paz.
Here.
Thank you.
Do we have any public comments?
If anyone wishes to speak on an item not on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you. All right, we have no in-person public speakers, and Chair Paz, it does not look like we have any public forum online.
Okay. Before we begin, I just want to let my fellow commissioners know that this is my last meeting of the Public Engagement Commission. I've been on it for 8 years, and it is time for me to step off. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time on the commission. I feel like we've accomplished a lot. Doesn't feel like 8 years, but yeah, 8 years. And I believe it's Commissioner Goodman's also last meeting, am I correct?
It is, although I think at my first meeting, which was my only meeting, that was also supposed to be your last meeting.
No, this one it will be, definitely. So with that, let us move to consent calendar, which is approval of Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of May 21st, 2025. Do I have a motion?
I second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Amoregi and second by Commissioner Klein Rothschild. We need a roll call.
All right, commissioners, once again, please remember to speak into your mic. Commissioner Amoregi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goodman?
Abstain.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Abstain.
Commissioner Kelly?
Aye.
Vice Chair Klein Rothschild?
Aye.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us to item B1, Community Relations Annual Outreach Recap for fiscal year 24-25. Give it to Ms. Hoover.
Well, good evening, Chair Paz and Public Engagement Commissioners and to everyone watching. I'm Kelly Hoover, the Community Relations Manager, and we will definitely have more to follow on Chair Paz leaving us after so long. We will definitely be looking to honor him at the next Public Engagement Commission meeting, so hopefully you all will come for that. So this is a wonderful night where we get the opportunity to really take a closer look at our communication and how we're reaching the community, which is, I know, your mission as well as our Public Engagement Commission. We want to make sure that as many people as possible are informed about what's happening at the city and that they feel comfortable being a part of what's happening And that is the goal. And so tonight's a wonderful night that we get to kind of take a look at how that's going. As you all know, communication is the key to life. It's really so much about life is just how you're communicating and making sure that what you're communicating is easy to understand and follow. And so we hope you'll take a look at that tonight as we are looking at how the year went. So tonight, you will receive a presentation on the Community Relations Annual Outreach Recap for fiscal year 24-25. We want some input from you tonight on increasing the engagement on the city's social media channels in particular, and giving feedback on ways we can help educate the community about Goleta's four districts. So here we are. This is your community relations team. I'm Kelly Hoover, and with me tonight is Jamie Shaw, the management assistant, and Marcos Martinez, our Spanish engagement specialist. I can't say enough about this team. Couldn't do any of this without them. They are incredible, and we are in the trenches every day, doing our best to make sure that our community is informed and to do it in a way that people feel connected and comfortable. So thank them, first off. So our goals: keep community informed, give out timely and accurate information. We don't want anything that's dated. We want to make sure it's timely. Make information relatable and easy to understand. Increase community engagement and participation. Increase inclusivity. Improve language access. Build relationships and foster partnerships. Showcase city projects, programs, and events. And really a lot of education. Our number one goal always is to make sure people are informed during an emergency. That is first and foremost. And we are responsible for providing the latest information to the public. We are always looking at how it relates to Goleta. So even though the county often takes the lead on getting information out, if it's big enough that it would reach that level, we're still always looking at it from a Goleta lens. So we work closely with all of our emergency partners, such as County Office of Emergency Management, our Sheriff's Office, Fire Department, all of our local emergency partners, and we share their information and look for the Goleta angle to the information.
All right, thank you. So for our outreach modes, our team uses a wide variety of outreach methods to reach as many residents as possible. This includes our city website, of delivery emails and text, press releases, Facebook, Instagram, X, Nextdoor, YouTube, Goleta TV Channel 19, our community events, and we also use A-frame signs, light post banners, and Blackboard Connect for emergency notifications. Our goal across all channels is to provide accurate and timely information that builds trust and encourages participation in city programs, meetings, and events for all individuals. We also try to continue to evolve, and we're monitoring emerging platforms like LinkedIn, TikTok, Threads, and WhatsApp to see where cities are finding success. For our new Spanish outreach, expanding access for our Spanish-speaking residents continues to be a top priority. GovDelivery en Español now has 1,673 subscribers, which is up from the 1,553 we had last year. We sent 247 messages in Spanish this past fiscal year, and our lead Goleta Bilingual Community Academy continues to be a strong success. Our third bilingual session had five Spanish-speaking graduates, and the program earned the 2024 Helen Putnam Award for Excellence in Public Trust, Ethics, and Community Involvement. A highlight I really want to mention is some great work from the city staff here that they made possible. Simultaneous Spanish interpretation that's going to be available at the city council meetings, Spanish agendas are provided, and Spanish language captions for our YouTube recordings of the meetings.
So some highlights from the past year. We had our first ever drone light show on the 4th of July. We had a ton of community events that we'll go into. We had festivals, ribbon cuttings, groundbreakings. As Marcus mentioned, we had our LEAD Goleta Academy, and we won the Helen Putnam Award last year, which is a prestigious honor. And we've also seen tremendous growth with our Monarch Press newsletter, which went out today for November, if you have had a chance to read it. So let's talk about our historic first ever drone light show. Were any of you there? Okay, well then you know it was fantastic. We had never done anything like that before. We didn't know what to expect. It was held at Dos Pueblos High School. We didn't know who would show up. Could it be 500 people? Could it be 2,000? Well, we had close to 6,000 people attend. We definitely felt from the community that they really wanted something back in Goleta. There was so much enthusiasm. Most people hadn't seen a drone show, including myself. And it was just a lot of fun. There was a DJ, dancing, entertainment, activities, food trucks, and more. Another heartwarming thing about this event is we just put it out there, asking the community if they wanted this and for sponsors to step up. And sure enough, we had 20 sponsors, and we raised $85,750. And the event itself was around $100,000. And so really, it was just an amazing just support from our local businesses. And we are in the process of doing this again. You'll see something go out from us. And when it was in the Monarch Press today, but we're going to be bringing this event back, and we're going to be fundraising even more for it because we want to make it bigger and better. And now that we know it's so popular, we have to prepare with more food trucks and a bigger dance floor and more of everything. So we're already having a sponsor step up. Last year, Yardi Systems really was the first one that kind of gave this concept helped us get out the door, and they have stepped up again with a $25,000 donation, and they've offered a $25,000 matching grant as well. And so they really got us going. We also had Santa Barbara Airbus tell us they'll do the shuttles again, and they've also donated funds. Ergo Motion last year was a big sponsor, and they've announced that they're returning, and also Fuel Depot has returned, and that's just so far, and we haven't even announced it. So we definitely know the community loves this, and we're really proud of how it turned out, and we can't wait for this next year. We had a lot of events, as you all know, this last year. And just to go over some of them, we had the State of the City at the Community Center. We had a great turnout. That picture at the top, you can see it was pretty full. So we were really happy with the State of the City. You can mark your calendar for April 15th. It will be the next community State of the City. We also had Coffee in Communities. These are events held in each of our districts, and we have each of the council member that's their district, be the lead of the coffee. And we just had one this past Sunday at the Stowhouse Ranch Yard. It was a lot of fun, lots of families there. So these are a great way to connect with our community. The Dam Dinner is always a popular one. Last year we did Lights, Camera, Stroll, which was to celebrate the holiday lights that are on Hollister Avenue for the parade and just for the holiday season. That was a lot of fun. We had Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus and a photo booth. That was a great event. We have the Goleta Old Town Holiday Parade. That's coming up again on December 6th, by the way. And the Window Decorating Contest, which encourages the businesses on Hollister Avenue to decorate and make it festive for the parade route. We do Beautify Goleta events throughout the year. We had a Public Works Week event at Camino Real Marketplace, which is really fun for the kids. There's a touch a truck, and they get a chance to get to know people that are in the public works field, not just from Goleta, City of Goleta, but other public works as well. We had E-Bike Safety Awareness Week, and that is obviously an important topic for many of us, concerned about the kids we're seeing on e-bikes and without helmets and speeding around and just wanting to make sure that everybody is safe. We had a lot of ribbon cuttings and festivals and groundbreakings. We had Elwood Mesa's 20th anniversary. And by the way, we weren't in charge of all of these. We just supported some of them. But we were heavily involved in all of these. The Train Depot groundbreaking, the Lemon Festival, City Hall EV charging station ribbon cutting, the Buena Tierra permanent supportive housing ribbon cutting. We had a Mexican Independence Day festival in front of the Goleta Community Center. We had several Meet Me in Old Town block party events this past year. And we had the Nature Track Film Festival in Goleta last year as well. The Lead Goleta Bilingual Community Academy, as we mentioned, hopefully it doesn't sound like we're bragging too much, but we're pretty excited about receiving that Helen Putnam Award last year for excellence in the category of enhancing public trust, ethics, and community involvement. So our last class was the fifth community academy and the third bilingual community academy. We had 34 graduates, five of them Spanish speakers. And right now, we just opened up the application period for the next Lead Goleta. It begins in January, and it does fill up. We're excited to meet whoever this next class is going to be, and we encourage you all as our public engagement commissioners to spread the word and tell people about this great learning opportunity.
Now we're going to get into what the data tells us. What we'll see is that the city continues to grow its audience, that there's frequent and consistent outreach shared with the community, and that our growth depends on the platform we're using. As you saw earlier, we use a really wide variety, and some platforms grow more than others. So we're going to start with the Monarch Press because we're really proud of how much it's grown just in the last year. We increased our subscribers to 28%. So we have 8,000 subscribers who just say that they're signed up to get the Monarch Press monthly e-newsletter. And in addition to sending it to that list, we share it on all of our channels just to get the widest range possible. We still have a print issue for those that don't have access to online or prefer to read it that way, and that's sent to about 50 people. And the Monarch Press is just a great way to stay informed. It kind of lets people know what's happened over the past month and what's coming up. Social media, that's something big we want to talk about tonight. We've been using the same three platforms, Facebook, X, and Instagram. And it's an important tool for our division. We have varying levels of success, as you can see on this chart. With Facebook and Instagram, our followers and posts show increases year over year. However, with X, for the first time, our followers went down slightly year over year, but our posts continue to increase. Here's another table showing similar data. Instagram saw the largest increase of followers, growing 36.4%. Facebook also saw a decent increase, adding about 600 followers for about a 10% growth. And as I mentioned, X had a very small decrease, less than 1%. This could be a result of the company's bot removal to eliminate fake accounts. So sometimes we'll see, you know, subscribers go up and down because they're getting rid of those bots. We thought it would be informative to see how our neighboring jurisdictions are doing on social media, so we put together this table. We found that they tend to use the same platforms we do. And looking at the table, we can see that while Instagram is dominant for some jurisdictions, like the cities of San Luis Obispo and Ventura, Facebook is the most popular for the cities of Lompoc and Santa Maria. And while X is on the decline for City of Goleta, is widely popular for the city of Santa Barbara and the county of Santa Barbara. So when you look at this table, it's interesting to note the populations of each of the cities, and then just looking at the subscribers and seeing, like, for example, with Ventura having so many more on Instagram than X. And then if you look at the city of Santa Barbara, X is, you know, double Facebook and Instagram combined. So it's just kind of an interesting exercise for us as we look to the next phase of our social media.
All right, our top Instagram post, as Jamie mentioned, Instagram continues to be one of the fastest growing platforms that we have. The most engaging posts that we see are tied to community events, anything that is visual, local, and family oriented tends to perform best. Examples include the drone show highlights or coffee and community photos and holiday events. The two highest performing posts were the first one, which was supporting our local businesses, and the other for the historic drone show. And if you look at the list, you really do see that this is kind of getting a really strong sense of community connection, right? And we tend to prioritize high-quality visuals and event-based storytelling. So the recaps that we post, the highlights of our community events, those tend to get some really great traction and a lot of new followers on our pages. For Facebook, the top-performing content is usually centered around city project updates, event announcements, and community celebrations. The top two most popular posts for us, the first one was a sheriff update, right, where the detectives were seeking help, and the second one was about a traffic shift for public works. Facebook remains our broadest demographic reach, especially for residents seeking practical updates. If you can see here, it's really about city project updates that we've noticed get a lot of not just views, but traction, right? People resharing, commenting, keeping their neighbors up to date. And as well as the community celebrations, I've noticed just speaking with the residents that swing by, like, oh, I saw it on Facebook, which I think is really, really nice. For X, we did see a small decline, and as Jamie mentioned, I do believe it's as a result of the bot cleansing. So bots are users that are computer users, not actually owned by a person. They've been doing some purging on X, so which is why we saw that decline. what we've seen on average for X is that our most viewed content is timely news and real-time updates, especially during emergencies or breaking developments. Go ahead and hit the next slide. So if you see for this chart, I thought it was really, really interesting. So the top post was a Father's Day reminder, helping people, reminding them to shop local. But the next nine are all related to city news and real-time updates. So what we're seeing is that for a lot of people, a lot of our community members, you know, X is still reliable as a news source. That's why they want to go and see, like, oh, what just happened? And they go to X. So we do see that value in keeping that page up to date.
So while we are happy with the platforms we have, and we have been using them for a long time, we are also still looking around at what's new and if there's any emerging platforms, and we're watching other cities to see if they're taking on these platforms. And so these are ones we're looking at, LinkedIn, TikTok, BeReal, WhatsApp, Mastodon, Threads, and Blue Sky. These are ones we're looking at. We've noticed that most cities aren't taking them on, some of the big cities, not one of our size. So while we're not eager to take on something extra if it's not going to resonate with our community, it's really important that we do keep an eye out and pay attention. So I don't want to go into much into depth with each of these platforms. Some of them you probably are familiar with. LinkedIn, of course, is used to recruit employees. It's for mostly professionals ages 25 to 34. It is used by government agencies for job openings and showcasing staff. But really, it probably isn't the best suited for everyday engagement. However, we have seen some cities that do have it on their website. TikTok, of course, very popular with Gen Z and younger millennials, has more than a billion global users. And it is creative. It reaches, obviously, the younger demographics. We have seen some federal and state agencies restrict TikTok, though, so it does have its issues. And oversight is strongly required. So it's definitely one to watch, but maybe not best suited for a city. I have never even heard of Be Real, but apparently that's a thing. WhatsApp I do use, but I don't know if that makes sense for us to use as a city. But it has over 2 billion global users, especially outside of the United States. And it is one thing that's interesting about WhatsApp is it's an opt-in alert for residents, so that is appealing for us. But it has limited reach compared to text and email. It's one to watch, though, for sure, to see if cities start incorporating it. And then Threads, that is Meta's text-first social app. It's very similar to X and Twitter, obviously. It's one to watch. It's integrated with Instagram. However, again, it's maybe not suited for city government. Blue Sky, we want to take that one on simply because the icon is a blue butterfly, which would be so cool. But that's another one that is, you know, just hasn't taken off yet for our purposes. However, we're definitely looking really closely at that one because we really like the butterfly icon. And it is getting more and more popular. And who knows, that might be the next thing. So we really just want you all to see that we're paying attention. We're not just resting on our laurels of, hey, we have these social media platforms. We're looking at what other people are doing. And I thought it was really interesting to see what other cities are using that are our neighbors and how they're doing. And it's so interesting to see how some do better with different platforms. So I thought I'd pause for a moment and just see if you all have heard of any of these. I'm sure you have, or if any of these you think are ones that we should maybe pay attention to.
Any comments, commissioners?
Do you comment? Something I thought I would
bring. First.
Oh, sorry.
First and second.
Okay. I think one of the questions I have is the purpose of the engagement and outreach. Is it to give information? Is it to listen and hear from constituents? So part of it is, what is the goal? And most of the information, I think, is really to inform residents. So it's one way, and that's good. But also, when it's one way, I have a different level of engagement than when you ask me and you engage me and ask for my opinion. So that's something just to consider in terms of the type of media to use. I think having more and more isn't always better. And I know I use a few of these things. But question is, how do we know what's effective and what do our residents want? Just thoughts.
Commissioner Amaroji.
Well, I can dovetail on that. In terms of the target audience, in some of this, you guys are doing a fabulous job. I don't need to say that, but it's worth mentioning. But the engagement, is our goal for local audience or big national audience? So if we are targeting our local residents, then some of these new platforms or platforms that maybe we need to look at it, do they really use them locally, or because those are big worldwide things, and some of them, they talk about international stuff. But if we want to communicate with our residents and engage with them, so maybe we need to focus, at least look at what our focus is in that area. There's the old tried and true radio. I would like to hear Kelly on radio, or as a TV on busy interview. Something like that is local. KCSB, for instance, we can talk, and it's not nationwide, but we're a small city. So anyway, those are my comments.
Commissioner Kelly.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. I live in this world. I use it every day, and I have a couple of thoughts really quickly that jump out at me. That echo some of the comments my fellow commissioners have said a little bit is we run the risk of diluting the message if we go too broad. And I think that there are the established platforms. I would suggest one of the reasons Twitter's down is perhaps because of the change in ownership of Twitter, and its political persuasion probably has impacted a little bit as well. However, you're absolutely right. In terms of like speed of delivery of news, it's probably still one of the best. Whether we're able to continue that down that pathway is unclear. And I think that's one cautionary tale that I think Twitter has illustrated to us is we have to be really wary of investing too much time and resources in some of these platforms, because at any point in time, a billionaire buys it, shuts it down, and or TikTok gets banned in the US, right? And so, like, just something to be cognizant of. I think WhatsApp's really, really interesting. Obviously, I have a lot of ties to the UK, and when you go to the UK or I listen and watch content from the UK, WhatsApp is the platform. You know, if you want to enter a contest, it's WhatsApp. If you want to contact a company, it's WhatsApp. Everything is WhatsApp. My sister uses WhatsApp. They don't use text messaging. I think it's really weird, but it's definitely the thing that's used. And I think that one of the things I've learned over here about WhatsApp, and perhaps Marcus can correct me a little bit as well, but I think it's a bit more prevalent in you know, the Hispanic community and other communities and stuff, because there's sometimes a different cost profile to it than say text messaging through iPhones and what have you. So I think WhatsApp is actually a really intriguing platform for us to look at, specifically on engagement, in that, you know, I get the sense with WhatsApp that it's probably easier to build out channels that allow the public to engage directly with the city through a WhatsApp-type system than perhaps some of the other channels. And I think engagement is part of the thing, right, is that we're looking at these metrics. And again, I live in this world. I'm just doing events where I'm paying, you know, Meta to promote my content. And, you know, it's okay having these numbers of views and what have you, but what's the point of it on the back end? Is it people are just scrolling through and looking at stuff, or are they actually engaging with it? Something the city might want to consider, and I'd be just curious of this, and I say this with a word of caution as well, not suggesting we do a ton of this, but there is the paid side of it is actually incredibly cost effective and cheap, and I'd be curious to see perhaps on the odd post here and there as a test case, whether it's the drone show or whether it is a, you know, state of the city or something that we really, really, really want the public to engage with, is maybe we take a look at throwing a few bucks at pushing that a bit more, and maybe just as a test thing and see what comes back from that. You know, social media is not going anywhere. I think you guys are doing a great job. I think you guys probably all are aware that video tends to get better engagement as well than just regular text and stills. And I know you do a lot of great video and stuff like that. And it's a lot of work, like, you know, and that's the other thing about all these platforms. Like, I made a personal choice not to use TikTok because I can't be doing with all of them, you know. And so WhatsApp, I think, is absolutely worth looking at a little more, and possibly some paid ads. The rest of them I'm not convinced about necessarily. Or LinkedIn is good, of course, for professional reasons. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Commissioner Goodman.
Thanks. Commissioner Kelly said much of what I was going to say. So I'll just echo that I see our employees, the young Spanish-speaking folks who live here, are using WhatsApp. So I want to echo that. I want to say that views, to me, is very passive, the things that were really interesting were the shares and reactions. And because that's when someone actually has taken action, even if the action is only clicking something. Otherwise, you're at the mercy of the algorithm. So I'm seeing that emergencies or something unusual is capturing people's attention. And it's great that we have people sharing those things. Certainly, we want more people to be enrolled in getting alerts and finding out what's happening. And you do a great job pushing those things out. But I wonder about a paid ad just to get people to sign up for those alerts, because those are really valuable if you live in the city.
One thing I wanted to kind of mention is that during the presentation and then what Commissioner Goodman said in terms of each of these platforms sometimes appeal to a certain demographic, and sometimes it's an age demographic. And I think it does behoove us to kind of look at each platform in sort of that way, that you don't just, you know, put out every single post across, you know, the various platforms in the same way, that sometimes you do want to be selective depending on the demographic you're trying to reach. And especially since we're looking at trying to engage younger people, we really should be looking at the different platforms and sort of that mindset. But likewise, too, that sometimes, you know, like was mentioned, we still have about 50 people receiving a print form of the Monarch Press, right? 100%. I'm probably pretty sure that those 50 people are probably older people who have no desire to be on social media. So that's their way of engaging with the city. So I think looking at it that way is also important, to not say we're going to take the same approach across all the platforms and we're just going to post the same thing. I think that's important to kind of remember as well. Any other comments? Commissioner Ibarra.
Thank you. I have an observation and I think a comment along the lines of Commissioner Klein Rothschild said, I believe that we have to find out what we're going to do. Are we trying to just put updated information and update it on a regular basis and just to inform, or do we want it to be interactive where people say, oh, I saw this at the Home Depot parking lot. I saw ICE agents, just for example, and somebody puts it on there. Be careful or stay away from that area. Or do we just want to tell folks, oh, let's say it starts raining and there's a potential of flooding. People go to want to see, for example, what you saw, the sandbags, getting areas to go if you need to evacuate. So I think people use it for different reasons, but I think we have to establish that first. Are folks, is the public, are the residents just looking for information and to get updated on weather, traffic patterns, if something happens and they hear about it on the radio or they hear it on TV, or worse than that, they hear a lot of sirens. People want to know what's happening, so I think we have to establish that. WhatsApp, I think, is popular in the community. But the one I like, and I think it's just because of the butterfly, and I think it's it might draw folks into it more, would be Blue Sky. I think being that the butterfly, Monarch Butterfly, is so part of Goleta, that I think it would be a good avenue to look at. But I have to just stress, what are we trying to do, inform people or get information from folks? So I think that's the first step we ought to start with. Thank you.
Commissioner Kelly and then Commissioner Amaroji.
Yeah, just a couple of things popped in my head. We've all heard this saying before, if something is free, we're the product. And so that's something to bear in mind with a lot of these platforms. We are absolutely the product. And what that leads me to is the city website and I suspect there's rules on this. You know, I think in an ideal world, the engagement, we want to drive the traffic and the people possibly away from these, what are third-party platforms that we don't really control, to our own platforms, right? The city website being one of them. And sometimes I feel like the city website's a little bland, and I suspect there's rules about what a city can and can't do with its website, but if there is a way to perhaps jazz it up a little bit, you know, so that when we do capture the attention of some of these people through these other platforms and we get them to our website where the real information is that we want to share with them, that they're inclined to come back and revisit. And I know that this came up at the community coffee the other day, and I think an app is a really good way to also take back control a little bit of, like, yes, we want to engage and use the technology to engage with the community and bring people in, but we also don't want to give up control of that a little bit, of the channels. And so jazzing up the city's website and potentially an app, which it sounds like is being discussed amongst the city, I think would be an important step to kind of, you know, keep the people engaged in the way we want them to be engaged rather than we at the will of these platforms.
Commissioner Maharaji.
I second everything that has been said by my fellow commissioners. If we take a typical day or any day, you know, and look at what our residents are doing, there's a lot of people, they are engaged in work, and that may not, social media, of course, is very popular, but they listen to the radio on earbuds while they are walking or when they are doing some, you know, and I thought we should not forget that, you know, get, and if in terms of, like, the fellow commissioner just pointed out, do you, if you want to just disseminate information, or do you want them to give us information? But if in terms of just sending out information, maybe we should put some spots on, think of the radio, you know, because they listen to that while they are working. Lots of people everywhere, every day, locally.
Commissioner Ibarra.
Yes. One of the things that goes through what Commissioner Gus says, Kelly says, about controlling what we put out there and having control of it. I was watching one of the school district board meetings on YouTube because they refer you to, for previous meetings, they refer you to YouTube. So as it starts out, you see a couple commercials, and then it throws you off, and then you're listening to some of the board meeting, and then they go to, like, a commercial or something. Something comes up promoting something, and you're like, is it because they're the school district, or is school district making the money off of the app, or what? So it is disconcerting. So I'd like something that we could have control over. Because it's really weird when you're looking at it, and all of a sudden, oh, we'll be back, and it goes to some type of social media commercial.
Part of that is because if you don't have a subscription to YouTube, then you'll get that, commercials.
Yeah, but it's a school district meeting. That's the thing that throws you. I can imagine if it's another type of platform that you're looking at. Anyway, thank you.
Commissioner Klein Rothschild.
One thought I have, you are such a talented team. I mean, the three of you put out a tremendous amount of information in a variety of ways, very effectively. No question. I come back to what Commissioner Goodman said. I want to know that people are doing more than just a view, right? And I looked at the Monarch that came out to just today, and I said, you know, there's so much information in here. How do people sift through it? So one of the things you might consider is having some kind of categorization or segmentation, so things that are all about projects or one area, it's hard to find because there's so many things. You're so prolific. In a way, you may help people better decipher it if you can help them segment it or categorize it in some way. Just a thought that came to me. Lots of press releases, lots of information in lots of ways, and I'm thinking, I wonder how much people absorb. So it's just a thought.
Related to that, one of the things I do appreciate is, and I don't know who, maybe you all that are in charge of doing this, but for city council meetings, I appreciate the fact that it's bulleted. Like, here are the major things that the council are talking about. I really appreciate that because it really helps along the lines of Commissioner Klein-Rothschild pointing out that if you could do that likewise on some of the other areas would be really helpful, because then people hone in on those things that they really are most interested in. So that's really helpful. Any other comments, commissioners? Sounds like that's it.
Now we have more to present to you, but this was a great discussion. I can't thank you enough. I know we're all on the edge of our seats over here because this is really good info. People are really busy, and people feel bombarded and with information. And so that is something we're striving to do, is maybe make it more concise, not too much. There's only so much people can handle, only so many things they can pay attention to. So thank you for that comment, because I think we're feeling that as well. So moving on to more of our presentation, we do want to talk about our website.
Yes. So we saw 194,000 users this past fiscal year. Users are unique individuals who visited the site. While this number is down slightly from last fiscal year, it's on par with the previous years. More people are visiting the website from a desktop or mobile device, with an increase in desktop users year over year. Mobile users decrease slightly, and a very small percentage access the website through a tablet. And I think this kind of goes back to the discussion of an app. There's a lot on the website. You know, we have a lot going on at the city, so we want to put all the information out there so that people can find it, but then they do have to sift through it. So it is much easier to access the website and information on your desktop than a phone. So that's why I personally think that we have a higher number of people accessing our website, you know, on their laptop or desktop versus on their phone. I am surprised about the tablet, though. That's a really, really low number, but I guess it's people maybe on the go with their phones versus sitting at their home or work computer looking at stuff. But what is fun to look at are the top 10 website pages. No surprise that the city homepage would have the most views, followed by the library homepage. Then we have meetings and agendas, the Goleta Butterfly Grove, job and recruitment information, the search feature, the library book van, which was new to the top 10 list, but makes a lot of sense because when the library was closed, we were really pushing people to know about the book van and where to access it. The library calendar, the About Us page, and then group picnic reservations, which was also new to the top 10 list. And then down in the corner, you can kind of see a comparison to last fiscal year, and eight of the 10 are the same. So just a couple changes year over year. Now we'll hop into GovDelivery, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. It's the city's email and text notification system and a big main source of communication for us. This platform allows the user to choose the topics they're interested in receiving. We ended the last fiscal year with over 51,000 subscribers, which is an increase of 3,000 from the prior year. And you can see that while the number of messages we sent is down slightly, it's still a really, really large number. We're sending, you know, over 850 messages a year. So that's at least three a day, and that doesn't include, and that includes weekends and holidays. The engagement rate is also good to look at. Ours is strong at 70%. This chart kind of, because the numbers were so close together, it makes it look like it's a bigger difference than it is, but it's only 1.6%. But the engagement rate is the percent of recipients who opened or clicked on a bulletin link within 90 days of receiving it. So I think 70% is a strong number. That means they're not just deleting it, but they're opening it and finding something they want to read more about.
So we also do offer GovDelivery in Espanol, and our number of subscribers keeps increasing, which I think is a reflection of the effort and work that our team does. And I quick shout out to all our city employees listening, because they also all strive to want to provide and promote their materials, their programs in Spanish. So it really is a group effort, which I'm proud to be a part of. You know, the benefits of this, it goes directly to the user. You know, if you're signed up for text notifications, you get that little buzz in your phone, and then, hey, it's a youth commissioner. Oh, let me tell my mijo, and, you know, they go apply. So I think it's really, really great to reach people directly. And what Jamie mentioned, I think, is most alluring is, you know, you sign up for what you're interested in, and I get personally a lot of really positive feedback when we get to tell them, like this is in Spanish. You know, it's not something that they'll have to ask to then be translated, which I think is really, really cool. And we do strive, you see the bulletin sent increase as well. So again, we're just always constantly making a larger effort to make sure as much of the material that we send out is available in Spanish to our community. For next door, oh man, what can we say about next door? It continues to grow. Now at 15,422 members, which is 1,500 more from the previous year. It's you know, it's a go-to for neighborhood level communication. Especially, you know, we saw a lot of those comments you all mentioned in the previous conversation, but for local alerts, events, community reminders, hey, what was that noise you heard, you know? Posts here often get a strong engagement because they are hyper-local. So something I've noticed is it's not only the city us sending out information, it's then seeing other community members reshare that information to their like subset, their local neighborhood, which I think is really, really great. And you know, we'll continue to use Nextdoor to promote events, timely updates, and we do try to encourage, as you mentioned, Gareth, you know, we do try to include a link at the end of the comments to please visit our webpage. So that is a work in progress that we're striving for.
Videos. This is an emphasis for the city. We know it's a great way to communicate. We really see that people want to watch information. They don't necessarily want to just be reading all the time. And so videos are really important. We did 54 videos last year as opposed to 55 the year prior, and that's up higher than the 35 videos we did in 2022-23. We did 12 videos in Spanish. Our videos focus on city events, projects, and programs. We put them on our YouTube channel. Some of them make it to PumpFlix, which is at the gas stations. Those are normally short 19-second promotions. We did receive an award last year for our video called Another Great Year in the Good Land. It was from the California Association of Public Information Officials, CAPIO. And this video played at the 2024 Goleta Community State of the City. And the Star Awards recognize excellence in government video programming in California and Nevada. And we took first place in the category of promotion of a city or county. Press releases. You'll see a lot of organizations veering away from this communication method, where we firmly believe that it's a great way to get the word out. The media gets the information. It shows what Goleta is doing, not only to our community, but on a larger scale. It often gets picked up by the media. And, I mean, we've even made it to national media with some of our press releases. It's a great way for us to get our facts straight, too, to sit down amongst ourselves and with our staff, get quotes, get all the facts, check them, make sure everything's correct, and then put it out there. So I think it's just a great form of communication. And we sent over 190 press releases last year. And that resulted in over 600 media mentions for the city of Goleta. So people are watching what we're doing, and a lot of that, I think, is because of all the press releases we send.
Some additional outreach efforts the city uses include A-frame signs, light post banners, and Goleta TV Channel 19. A-frame signs and light post banners remain effective outreach tools. The A-frame signs are placed throughout the city and provide a way for people to learn about upcoming events, projects, etc. And on an even bigger scale, we have light post banners, which are used to promote city campaigns, long-term projects, and programs. You can see in the picture some of the more recent light post banners are the Experience Elwood Mesa, and we had those made in honor of the 20th anniversary of saving it from development, but we made it evergreen so that we can continue to put those up year after year. And then our coffee and community A-frame signs that we put up before each event just to get the word out, and it's fun when people come to the event. We ask them how they heard about it, and a lot of people will tell us they saw the A-frame sign. And then we use Goleta TV Channel 19. All of the videos that we do are played on that channel. You can watch recaps of meetings on that channel, live meetings and recorded, and we also create slides that promote our upcoming events for people who are watching when a meeting is not being aired or a video. And then we have Blackboard Connect, which is our phone notification system. It also sends emails and text messages. We have over 20,000 residents and businesses signed up. It's used to share emergency information or big events impacting the city. This past fiscal year, we only had to use it one time, and that was to let people know about the community state of the city. So this is an outreach tool we have, but we do not want to be using it a lot. It's there mostly for emergencies or if we need to let the community know that something important is happening.
So here it is. You all have been great listeners. You can see, I will not go over this, but you can see that we're growing, depending on the platform. And we're sending out a lot of information across all of our platforms. We're trying to actually send out a little bit less information than we have previously, because we talked about how people are feeling bombarded. But it's still important to let people know what's happening, not only from us, but from our partners as well. So this is a look at how it went this past year and how we're growing. And we want to also draw your attention to our campaigns that we do. Campaigns are a great way to get people connected to the information. For example, live, work, play. It instills pride in our community that it's a great place to live, work, and play. Good land, good shopping. You're going to hear a lot of that during the holidays, but encouraging people to shop local. Old Town Open for Business is another one. With the construction going on and just reminding people that Old Town is open for business and how many great businesses are in Old Town. Go Green Goleta is one that you'll continue to hear, and that goes without saying how important that is for our future. And Know Your District, that's another one, and that's what we want to end with tonight. This is a campaign that was introduced in 2022, and that was the city's first ever district election. And then we used it again in the November 2024 election for districts 3 and 4. There's going to be another district election this next year. And what we are finding is that many people still do not know what district they live in. And we even get confused by it, and we work for the city. So we want to make it so that people know what district they're in, and especially when it comes time to, you know, participate in whether it's a coffee and community in their district or it's voting for a council member or whatever it may be. Just people, we want them to know that there are 4 districts in the city and which one do they live in. There is an interactive map that we have, so it is really easy. But we would love your feedback on how can we really get people to understand what district they live in and really make it easy for people.
Commissioner Klein-Retschow.
One of the things I notice in terms of what people pay attention to is public works and repaving and the streets near their homes, right? I've noticed that Nextdoor has gotten less negative and more positive and made comments. People made comments outside of the city about, boy, did you see the repaving here and how great this is? So people know the streets where they live. So one of the ways that you may look at helping people know their district is talk about, here are some paving or construction projects in this area in your district, District 1, and you tell them the streets. Ah, I know where that is because I drive those streets every day. And so the streets and the projects in that area, that's a way of helping people learn their districts. You tell them their district, you give them the address, and then the street names, and I think they'll pull it together because that's something I see people responding a lot to. So it's one consideration.
Thank you. Commissioner Amoroji.
So using A-frames for each district to be different with the map in there, I think that will help.
Commissioner Kelly.
Can we rename the districts? Well, what I mean by that is, like, I'm looking at the map. I know I'm in District 3, but I never remember I'm in District 3. But I'm in District Green, right? Or I'm in District Glen Annie. Right, and I'm, you know, just something to think about. And I know the naming would be fraught with issues because people would be like, well, I don't want it called Glen Annie. I want it called, you know, Haskell's or whatever. But, you know, I don't know about, like, it's an idea of, like, you know, the numbers maybe don't resonate as easily as a color or something else. Just a thought about that. I don't know.
That might be something to consider because I'm like for LA City Council, they don't always call them by the district numbers. They call them by the area that they represent. Mm-hmm.
They should have a number on there.
Oh. Yes. Commissioner Ibarra.
Yes, and I also like every time, and I would encourage, every time there is some type of interaction with city council or council members, that they say specifically, I'm from District 1, District 2. Whatever district you are, and continue to reinforce that because we're so used to having non-district designations, and we've gotten used to it, that it appears that sometimes the city council members are uncomfortable doing it. Instead of saying, oh, I'm District 1, they still say, oh, I'm the Goleta City Council member. They say, Goleta, District 1, and my district encompasses from just like a small, short statement, that's what it encompasses, it involves this area. Because you still hear people at the cafecito when the council member, Luz, she started off with District 1. This is my district. So once people start getting used to and comfortable with that, because there's still a little bit, not resistance, but I think there's a unwillingness to sound as though, oh, I'm from District 1. We don't like that in Goleta, in a way. We want to feel we're a community, but at the same time, that works against us. So I think continue to reinforce that. Thank you.
Commissioner Goodman.
Yeah, I'm going to take the opposite approach. I understand that it's important to know your district for voting. We're a small city. I hate the idea that somehow I'm separate from someone who lives over in District 1 because I'm in District 3. So I like that our council members feel that they're representing the whole city and not just their district. So are there ways to help people know which district they're in for voting? Yes, and I love using, this is happening in your neighborhood, and it's District 1. But we have enough dividing us in our world. So let's find ways to unite us.
Any other comments? Turn it back to you.
Another great discussion. Thank you so much, commissioners. That ends our presentation. We really appreciate you listening and for the great feedback we received tonight. Thank you to Jamie and Marcos for presenting alongside of me and just for being in the trenches every day with communication for the city. We will take everything that you all suggested and definitely use it for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to item C1, selection of the meeting dates for the 2026 calendar year.
Okay, back to me. We are going to take a look at the dates for 2026. We are thinking that we continue with Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. We've identified some dates on the calendar and want to see if this will work. Or they make sense. We've tried to make sure there's no conflicts with these dates with other events and important observations and that sort of thing. So the dates we're looking at, the next meeting would be February 25th. Then our next one would be May 20th, September 9th, and December the 2nd. So four meetings next year.
Any comments, concerns? Commissioner Klein-Rothschild.
I know that I will be out of the country in the first state. So it's only one person, but I know that I will not be in the country.
Any others? All right, do we have a motion to approve?
I make a motion we accept.
Yeah, I'll second.
Presented.
Motion made by Commissioner Ibarra, seconded by Commissioner Kelly. We need a roll call.
Okay, commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic. So, Commissioner Amoregi.
Approve.
Commissioner Goodman.
Approve.
Commissioner Ibarra.
Approve.
Commissioner Kelly.
Aye.
Vice Chair Klein-Rothschild.
Aye.
And Chair Paz.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us to item D, Director's Report.
Okay, back to me again. So for the Director's Report, I just want to turn your attention, now that you have approved the next meeting, to tell you about some of the things that we will be doing at the next meeting. We will be honoring Chair Paz for his years of service to PEC. We will be welcoming a new youth commissioner. We don't know who that is yet, but we know that they will be at our next meeting. So look forward to that. We'll also be picking a new chair and vice chair. And in terms of any other updates, we gave them during the presentation. Just, we have some important dates coming up. The Goleta Community State of the City, I know it sounds far away to talk about April 15th, but it's the city's biggest night of the year. So please put that on your calendar. And also, we hope to see you at the Goleta Holiday Parade, which is on December the 6th.
Okay. Okay. Nothing else?
That's it.
Thank you. Any comments by commissioners? Commissioner Ibarra.
Commissioner Paz, I'd like to say I know we're going to present you with an award and at our next meeting, but I have to say it's been a pleasure working with you. You were here at the beginning. We were here at the beginning, and it has evolved, and I will miss you. But we're going to be looking forward, and I hope you continue to participate in Goleta. Really do.
Yeah, I definitely would like to continue to participate in the City Goleta's various events. I love this city. That's why I got involved. And I likewise will miss being on the commission and working with you, Commissioner Ibarra. Yes, it's been 8 years and still can't believe it. But yes, thank you so much for your nice words. Commissioner Kelly.
My comment's going to fall flat now. It was just a comment. I think I brought this up a while ago. You know, a lot of us are engaged. That's why we're here. And we go to, you know, meetings and the dam dinner and events and stuff. And if we do have the budget for it, I would love a name tag with, you know, public engagement commissioner, just because I know then when you're chatting with people, they're like, oh, what's that? You know, like when you're at the dam dinner and stuff, I think it'd be a way to engage people to learn about the commission and stuff like that. So name tags would be great. That's it.
That's a wonderful comment. Commissioner Amoroji.
I'd like to thank you. I enjoy working with you. You know, it's not, I definitely will miss you. You know.
Thank you. Be a pleasure. Another comment?
Just one more comment. And I think the reason, along with the leadership of Chair Paz, but we also have a, I'll say it, crackerjack staff. Because you're the face, when we're not there, you're the face of Goleta, you're the face of this commission. And I can speak for myself, but I don't want to speak for anybody else because I know you'll get the same type of kudos from them. But I'm very proud to have you folks as our staff.
Likewise.
Thank you.
There's no other comments or thoughts? We will adjourn until February 25th, I believe, right?
Thank you, everybody.
So
good night.
Bye-bye.